Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Titans training camp, they're on the field, baby, a week from today. They report next Tuesday. They're on the field next Wednesday. So we are a week away from training camp beginning in the NFL. And, Joe, you've thrown the question out there. Who is most likely to be the Titans' breakout player of 2025? And you cannot answer Cam Ward in this discussion because, frankly, it's too easy. And that's what everybody's hoping for. So I get it.
Too obvious.
Too obvious. You cannot answer Cam Ward here. So, Joe, let's start with you. Who is your vote for the most likely Titans player to break out in 2025, not named Cam Ward?
It's assuming there will be one. Like, will there be a breakout player? Yeah, you need like someone. I guess every team probably has someone you'd have to put in that spot. But before I answer that, who was the Titans' breakout player last year?
Good Lord, that's a good question.
I don't think they had one. Right, like they
Sweat
Jarvis.
Maybe
no, I don't. I mean, I think Sweat came in with high expectations and was
fine.
Okay,
yeah.
I think Jarvis Brownlee would probably be the.
Yeah, that's probably it.
But I also think breakout player, kind of by definition, shouldn't be a rookie.
I would agree.
You know what I mean? Breakout player should kind of be like someone who's been around who takes that big step. Like some people might say. Well, I won't say any others. But my pick is J.C. Latham. I think he's the most likely to go from last year to this year as, oh, okay, look at that. I mean, you look at the shape he's gotten in. I think he's self-aware and holds himself accountable, obviously. He admitted he got a little bit out of hand with the weight last year. It's on the Titans that they drafted him seventh, said he was a left tackle, put him under the tutelage of one of the greatest offensive line coaches in the league, then decided, oh, yeah, we were wrong. He's actually a right tackle. That's on them, not on him. But if it is indeed the case that the right side is better for him, he's better suited for the right side, then that's another reason that you could make the case for J.C. Latham as the breakout player. So all of that said, and honestly, there's no one else for me that jumped out. He was the name that jumped out in my mind.
Well, let me tell you, it better be Latham, because if not, I got a big problem with drafting J.C. Latham. Like, hey, yeah. You need to walk away from the end of this year thinking that Latham is a great player on the right side of your offensive line. And frankly, anything less than that is going to be very disappointing to me if that's the way it works out. I mean, I'll put Sweat in that discussion too. Like, they absolutely need him to be. Like, they need Sweat from the jump this year to be a really, really good player. I'll throw another one at you that I've got an open mind about that, again, I don't think we're going to be talking about all pro or anything like that. But I was encouraged last year toward the end of the year by the way Skoronski finished. And if he takes a significant jump from what he's been in his career to this point, which I would describe as very up and down and okay, if he turns into a pretty good player, I'll take that at this point. So I would put him in that list as well. Other than that, I don't know how many candidates I think are actually realistic. Like, if you wanted to include the rookies, again, besides Cam Ward, the one rookie I would choose for this would be Femi Oladejo based on the position that he plays. They need him to be a whole lot better than I think that we think he's going to be in year one heading all this. But Latham needs to be the answer, and not far behind him needs to be Sweat. And you're talking about your first two picks from a year ago.
Yeah, and like Jacob on the YouTube chat throws out Gunnar Helm. I think that obviously Ayo Manor would be a guy to either of those receivers could, you certainly want one of them to break out and do something. But like Jacob said, not a ton of non-rookie options. Chig is a guy. Is it too late for him to be a breakout player?
It's not too late. I don't know that I have huge amount of confidence in it.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick him to be that, but there's another one, a veteran. Like someone on someone on a rookie deal. Like Zach says NWI last year, he did have I think, but I don't agree with that. I mean, he was already established. I know he had a good touchdown number last year, got himself a deal with Miami. But I think he's been a steady guy for a few years. I wouldn't call him that.
I'll throw another one at you that I think has got a chance, albeit I don't think a huge one, and I'm not holding my breath for it. But it's the type of guy that I think kind of fits the mold of it. Tajay Spears. Has been, I would call it underwhelming to this point, particularly with where he was drafted. And it's not like, I don't think, unless there's an injury, which hopefully there's not, to Tony Pollard, I don't think he's going to get a huge opportunity this year. Like, it's not like he's going to be playing, he's going to be touching the ball 25 times a game. But I thought last year he was pretty underwhelming, and then there were some injuries that went along with it. And I did find Brian Callahan's comments on him a few weeks ago pretty interesting, just in terms of, like, he went into not huge detail, but basically alluded to the fact that, you know, Spears was going through some things last year and that they've met a lot through the offseason, and that he feels like Spears is in a way better spot this year. So how much of that is coaching lip service in the offseason, and how much of that actualizes itself on the field? I have no idea. He would be a candidate of, if they could get an elevated version of him, what sort of weapon would that be on the offense? But frankly, Joe, the fact that I'm having to dig down to Tajay Spears on the offensive side of the ball kind of shows you their lack of options in terms of breakout players that are not rookies.
Yeah. I think James Williams and Cedric Gray are both guys you'd love for that to be the case, for it to even be a possibility. I don't know how that's going to shake out. They are both second-year players. One of them basically hurt all last year. The other one, you know, low pick, who was a special teams guy. But at least those are young candidates who could end up with key roles in the defense. So that'd be huge for the Titans if one of them could even be, like, discussed as that, put in the category this year and playing enough to be that.
I would love to know how far down the list you've got to go. Like, if you're trying to rank Titans players who have the most pressure on them heading into this year, I mean, like, you can always throw the quarterback in there. There's Legarius Sneed in the contract and all that. There's some different ways you can go with it, Jeffrey Simmons and how much they're relying on him to be productive. I don't think you got to get down very far before you get to Latham. Like, I just think with where he was drafted and the expectation for him to come in and be your franchise left tackle, and then you just basically immediately pivoting from that and putting him on the right side. Like, to me, he's got to be a great player on the right side for you this year. Like, I don't – maybe this is unfair of me. I don't have a whole lot of patience for J.C. Latham this year. Like, he needs to show pretty quickly that he was worth being drafted number 7 overall.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I think it's basically true of just high picks who aren't rookies, and even – who are rookies, it's true. But I think high picks going into year two, year three, they all need to be difference makers for you. And obviously, if you know, the Titans' recent history is such that, like, so few of them, of the high picks so many of them have been, you know, busts or close to it. But, yeah, that's where Latham and Sweat, obviously, but again, don't forget. I mean, Cedric Gray, a fourth round pick, that's not nothing.
Yeah.
Like you said, we've mentioned Skoronski. You know, obviously Levis is where he is, and then Spears, third round pick from a couple years ago.
Do you think we've seen the ceiling for Roger McCreary? Do you think he has another step?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's a good question. Another question with him is, do they extend him? I think that could make sense to extend him.
Here's my thought on that, Ian. I think he probably is what he is. And the question is that good enough? I would argue it is. Like, I think he's a solid, good, reliable player. I'm interested to see, like, what he's looking for in his next deal. Because, you know, he's not a superstar or anything like that. But I think he's been solid for them. And maybe more than anything, he's been available for them, which... been hard to find a lot of those guys.
I just wonder if he'll have more opportunity if something goes awry with Sneed.
Yeah.
Use him outside, right, or if they like to keep using him inside, how that kind of works out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's shown the ability to play outside and inside, I think they liked him better inside.
Yeah, he's better inside, but yeah. And then if you're him too, it's like, you know, there could be an extension, which, I mean, I would like that security if I were him, at where he is in this league. But, you know, he's a guy who, if you do get to free agency, that's the type of guy who can get overpaid, too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not a – but, yeah, you go through, like, the high picks, and obviously the – I mean, you can't go any, you know, further back. You can't go to, like, 20, but – you know, Treylon Burks, first
they
round
do
pick.
Have a lot of
Treylon Burks, first
a
round
lot
pick,
of folks 2022. Treylon Burks on the text line.
Are there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, we'll hey. See. I
speak
again,
it. Speak it into existence.
I will be surprised if he makes the team. That's where I'm at with Treylon Burks. If he is on the field for the Titans in week one, I will be pretty stunned by that. That's just where I'm
so
at.
So if he makes the team, he's your breakout player.
Well, maybe so. Maybe that's the bar for it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on this. Who is the most likely breakout player for the Titans in 2025? And Cam Ward cannot be the answer. We'll get more to that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Throwing it out there. Titans player, not named Cam Ward, that's the most likely to be a breakout player in 2025. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning. What's up, Robbie, Joe, Ian? What's up, Joe? Say what? Something now.
What's up, Mark?
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Good, man.
Joe, first of all, you can't have a breakout year if you stay broke up. And you know Treylon Burks is not dependable. He probably won't be on that roster, so you got to take him off the list. You can't even mention his name, Joe. I mean, he stays too injured and too broke up, and he's really had his chance. And I mean, if you're going to label him a bust, I guess you have to. I mean, you spent two top 10 picks on Latham and Staronsky. I think both have to have breakout years. The whole team has to have a breakout year. Callahan has to have a breakout year and win games, Joe. I mean, he does. He's going to have a breakout year. They end up getting rid of Callahan. A lot of guys on that roster is not going to be on there next year. My breakout pick, I'm going to go with Snead, not because of just the contract, but Snead was a pretty good cornerback at one time. They brought him in to do a job, to shut down. To be that shutdown guy and whatever, whatnot, but that would be my pick for it or whatever, whatnot. Are you debating today, Joe?
No, I think Stilly is bailing out, getting out of town. So you know he's kind of avoiding me. So, but I can rest easy and gear up for next week.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm gonna have to get you motivated and stuff, Joe. Like I said the other day, you're slipping out. You mean Steelman? If he's out of town, stay out of town, Steelman. Skip Bayless. Yes, Skip Bayless.
You're
Skip
invited Bayless. To stay away, Jared.
Yeah. Take a long vacation.
Skip Bayless wanna be, but Robbie sounds like an offensive line coach on the radio this morning, Joe.
Doing my best.
I mean. Yeah, he's stepping up. He sounds like one, man. I mean, hey, let's get rid of Callahan and bring Robbie in. Let Robbie motivate the offensive line for the Titans.
I can do it.
Robbie's not playing. Yeah, Robbie's not playing around.
That's the thing.
But, hey, man. Yeah, you, Robbie, Joe, Ian, y'all have a good day, man.
Thanks, Mark.
I just wanted to tap in and say that. We'll see you, man.
Appreciate you,
thanks,
man.
Buddy.
Yeah, you know, we've had some votes for Snead on the text line. We've had some votes for Ridley. I would view it this way, Joe. Like, to me, breakout season means like doing something you've not done before in your career. And it's hard for me to get there with Ridley. Like, somebody asked about like 1,400 yards with Ridley. It's like, well, he's kind of done that in Atlanta. I think he was like 1,350 something. So, like, to me, for Ridley to have a breakout year, it would take like 1,700 yards. And I just don't know that that's within the scope of realism there.
Yeah, I guess I'm realizing now how differently you can define that term, but I think of it the same way. I think of it as like it shouldn't be a new player because you know, like there's no precedent set, there's no baseline, but also, like you said, it shouldn't be like an established big time player who's done big things in the league, even if they might be a comeback player.
Yeah, like,
but not a breakout player. Breakout player is like raising to a level, in my mind, raising to a level of performance that we haven't seen.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Ridley could break out this year. It would probably be like 1,900 yards. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. I'd call that a breakout year for Calvin Ridley if he gets there.
That would be.
I just don't I don't know if I anticipate that happening.
That would be something.
I mean, to me, if he got even close to his career high in Atlanta, which, again, is somewhere in the neighborhood of 1350. Let me look that up real quick. I would be ecstatic with that if I'm the Titans this year. Like, if that's what he gives you this year, yeah, he had a career high of 1374 back in 2020. Long time ago at this point.
Yeah.
I would be thrilled with that if I'm the Titans.
Yeah, like Lockett, like I don't consider, you know, he's not going to, because Lockett's had 1,000-yard seasons. Yeah, and it's just not going to happen. Josh Wiley from Justin and Greenbrier.
Okay.
There's one to throw out there. Again, either of those tight ends, and obviously you hope Gunnar Helm's good. You hope that out of those three, couple emerge as giving you a little bit higher level of play at tight end.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Dude, I hate following Mark. I think he's my favorite caller. Like, I like listening to him. And so I feel like what I got to say is not going to be as decent. But
should have called quicker.
When you say breakout, like, I don't think you could completely dismiss vets even if they hadn't played here. I think Johnny Hecker needs to be awesome this year. And he was quiet. Right? That's why we were able to get him. Like, he's not as good as he's been before. But if he needs to raise up, because our offense could suck. We could be so bad, dude. And if we're punting from the 15, we really needed to get inside the other 20. And we didn't get that from Stonehouse. Everybody's disappointed with how Stonehouse ended. I want Johnny Hecker to break out, dude. I want him to be. Because,
yes.
I mean, it shed a sorry season. That could be a really important. Like, I know it's a punter, right? But it could be a really important player on this team. Like, I think he could have a – I could end up getting a Hecker jersey if he's good enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs to be good, dude.
Adam, I don't know if there's been a call that summed up Titans football more than you just did in the last 3-4 years.
Thanks,
right
bro.
There. Yep. That's good stuff.
Yeah, like, you actually – you answered the bell, man. You came up. You came out with a punter for breakout player.
Let me tell you, I mean, Titans fans, get excited. The punter having a breakout year this year.
Put the kicker in there, too.
Yeah.
We know the long snapper does not need that, cannot possibly qualify because they've already got an elite long snapper.
They do. He's pretty good.
So
he is pretty good. I mean, if we're getting to the end of the year and we're talking about just what an electric year Johnny Hecker had.
Pro Bowl.
That's great for him. It's probably not good news for the Titans. I mean, look, you can have a good punter on good teams, right? That's fine. I'm just saying that if we get to the end, we're like, rank the breakout performers for the Titans this year, and Johnny Hecker is on the list. That does not – things are probably not going well at that point.
But maybe he keeps coughing, cornering people, and the Titans are getting scooping scores off it. You don't know.
Look, I'm not going to sit here. Based on the absolute tire fire that we watched last year on special teams, I'm not going to sit here and undervalue it because you've seen firsthand, if you're a Titans fan, that if you can't do that job properly and special teams – is an absolute disaster, how much of a just punch in the face that can be every week. So I'm not going to sit here and make fun of it, but I'm just telling you, if Johnny Hecker is a breakout performer for the Titans this year, they're screwed. Everybody around here is fired.
Yeah. I mean, look, I had not considered it, so I appreciate Adam bringing that. We need more punter awareness. I've had very successful football coaches who've said the most important play in football is the punt. So
yeah.
Just throwing that out there. Cam says – keep an eye on Arden Key. Could Arden Key – I guess Arden Key could – like if he had some – you know, like
10 sacks.
Yeah, if he had a season of like a really good pass rusher, then that would – that'd be his breakout season.
I mean,
season.
He could – yeah, he's a candidate for it. I mean, you're also talking about a guy that has been in the league since 2018. He's 7 years at this point, so this is year 8. So, look, I'm not saying it never happens because you can find examples of players in year 8 – having a breakout year, it's hard for me to get there. I mean, the opportunity will be there. He's going to play. He's going to have to play a lot this year for the Titans.
Well, that's Cam's reason. He's going to be forced to play a lot more snaps, and I believe it's a contract year. Is this – I think that's
I believe
right.
that is correct, yeah.
So. He's had a lot of contract years, though, to be – that's the thing. He's the type of player who has a lot of contract years because people don't sign him to long-term deals. So, you know, so how much does that matter? You know, I'm sure it matters to him, but I don't know how much more you're going to realistically expect from him than about what he gives you, which is here and there you can make him play.
I just I can't get over like the mental image in my head of Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker sitting down at the end of the year with Amy and being like, let me tell you about our punter. Let me tell you about the year Johnny Hecker had.
But the punting was good. The
punting was unbelievable. You wouldn't believe just how much of a difference that made in our team this year. The MVP.
Well, that right there is a Titan. What was that about?
I don't know. One of your Brinker impersonations.
Chad, are you telling me that our best performer this year was the punter? Again?
Again. Yeah, someone said 40 punts inside the five means you're MVP. I mean, that would be an incredible. Like, if you just won a bunch of games, like, 9-7, yeah. But with, like, ungodly punting.
The average starting field position for the opposition is, like, their own six. It's like, these guys are starting back in their own end zone every drive. You couldn't believe how well the Titans are punting the ball out there.
Texter says, don't sugarcoat it. The Titans' special teams have been bad for years. Well, they've been quite bad for a couple of years.
They've had some really good last year.
Yeah. Yeah, last year was unbelievable. They've had good specialists.
Yeah, I mean, they kicked the ball really well last year in terms of if you're trying to make some field goals out there. Nick Folk was really good.
Yeah. So.
And now we're in a new era this year. Nick Folk's not good enough anymore.
Look, people get all excited about Dan Marino and the Miami Dolphins. Well, go back and watch some Reggie Roby punts and tell me that wasn't part of the success.
What do you know about Ray Finkel?
Yes. What if Joey Sly sucks this year? That'd be tough, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
In all seriousness, like, I know that when Nick Folk got here, still he thought that he couldn't kick a 37-yard field goal, but it turns out that he was pretty accurate.
He had a source. Yeah. He had a source in Boston.
He has no leg.
He's wicked weak with the leg. Yeah, got nothing.
Well, I've got a source. Yeah. So, but the Titans, like coaches talk about the margins.
We don't want to read the depth chart.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. How come? So it's okay to know like the third right tackle on like the Jacksonville Jaguars and want your team to sign them in free agency, but you're not allowed to know like starters on a college football team. I'm so confused.
Sam Aguilar. Throwing the ball around.
I hope he's listening before he goes wherever he's going on this latest vacation.
We got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. We will take more of those. 615-737-1025. The most likely Titans player to be a breakout player in 2025. And Cam Ward cannot be the answer. More on that coming up next. Plus something from a prominent college football coach yesterday that put an end to some of the crap that's been swirling out about there the last 2 days. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Got an event coming up that is not just a concert, it's a cause. Trinity, Texas Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps mom close when it matters the most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. We will get back into some comments from Josh Heupel and the Vols in the 8 o'clock hour, so all that coming up. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, and going through some potential breakout candidates in the Titans this year that are not named Cam Ward. You know, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Dennis brings up a good point that Hecker, who is obviously winning, the runaway winner of this competition, is going to be so good opposing teams left a game plan for him. We're going to call punts on second down. You know, I've gone through play-by-play from, like, college football games, from, like, a specific college football game from 1913 when I wrote this long thing about it. And, like seriously, like, they just – it's kind of like rugby if you watch rugby. Like, they just punt on first down, and they punt on first down. And then they run a play, and, okay, we punt on second down.
It's kind of amazing this sport ever turned out to be as popular as it did.
I know.
And then what the rationale was for that.
Well,
I guess it's strategy of some
sort. Yeah, it's all about, basically.
Trying to create a turnover or something?
Again, this guy covered, Mark D'Antonio, is like, well, what play in this sport do you gain the most yardage? Like, consistently.
It's the punt.
You gain it with the punt. Yeah. You don't have the ball after that, but, you know, if your defense, then so it's all about your defense. You trust your defense and
keep punting until you pin them back far enough. We're going to punt every play until that ball's on the one back there.
Oh, God. And even then, like, at that point, 1913, they did have the forward pass. It was very early. So they threw like a couple, you know. But it's a bold strategy,
Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
Like, if you had box scores from back then, I think seriously, it's like 40 punts in a game.
How did this sport ever make it?
I mean, it's kind of like it's like when you watch. I mean,
you understand a little bit more football. Why it's called football.
For
then,
a
yeah,
just
yeah.
These guys.
Because I do hear that a lot. It's like, why is this called football when the kicker is kicking the ball like seven times a game?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, fair question. Now, but there you go. And also, I mean, again, if you watch rugby, which I've watched a lot this year,
you have.
It is like it's just interesting how every once in a while, kind of deep in your own end, it's just like boom, kick it. Just kick it back, you know, kick it to them. And to, now in rugby, you can go, it's like an onside kick, like on a punt. You can go, if you get it, you get it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but anyway. So, point being, you know, football's cyclical. Maybe yeah. This is the way the Titans come back to prominence.
Thank God. Let's get back in there. I'm sure that cap will keep going up in the NFL if you just start punting the ball every second play.
These punters making 30 mil a year. God.
I mean, Stonehouse may thrive in that situation. Yeah. I mean, Stonehouse and Aukerman back together in Miami. Let's not forget that this year. That'd be something to watch.
Oh, man, that is.
You think every time Stonehouse walks in the building down there, he's like, hey, remember that time you just about got me killed on the football field in Nashville? That was fun.
Hey. Oh, you oh, again.
You're back again.
Cool.
Great. Have you figured out how to maybe block someone, scheme something up where I'm not getting eviscerated out there? Thank you.
Craig, don't hurt me again, please.
Oh, man. Good stuff. Kirby Smart addressed the media yesterday. Again, SEC Media Day is still going on down there in Atlanta. Jason Big Joe down there. SEC Media Day's coverage brought to you by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Kirby Smart was asked about all the Nick Saban stuff yesterday that was swirling around of, hey, do you think he might be coming back to coach? And Kirby Smart very quickly was like, yeah, that's not happening. It's not going to happen. He said, you know, if he did, he'd be great at it, but it ain't happening. He joked about offering the job of Will Muschamp's job to Nick Saban there, which was also pretty funny. But it sounds like Kirby has talked to the man himself, and Nick Saban ain't coming back.
I know, immediately go to, by the way, per Feinbaum, the Nick Saban of the Florida Gators, yeah. Will Muschamp, yeah. And you're going to replace it with Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not happening. But Kirby Smart saying that, just to be clear, I promise you that Nick Saban was like, Kirby, you say something about this tomorrow, please. This is ridiculous. That's not a very good Saban.
He should have gone on with, like, he should have said it on McElroy's show. Should have gone on with McElroy yesterday. I'm like, hey, by the way, he ain't coming back.
By the way, like, does, I know that's a good show that does really well. Like, do they ever get Saban on there? I mean,
I don't know. I'm sure. I mean, I would imagine of the radio shows around the country that have the opportunity to get Saban on. I mean, we have one of them on our station with Derek Mason, best friends with Nick Saban.
That's right.
But I would imagine McElroy's show would be up there in Birmingham, Alabama.
So, Nick, someone who would know thinks you're coming back to coaching. Your thoughts? By the way, did you hear McElroy's interview with Chasing Big Joe yesterday?
No, I didn't. I missed that one.
I mean, this is almost worth pivoting, but I've already yelled about it. I mean, the spin job he gave on that whole thing.
Can imagine.
It's. I mean, dude, you created this, but it's fine. It's fine. It's honestly, it's been a slow week, and without this, as what else will we have this week?
Well, I will say this.
We don't have a lot.
On the Saban front, there is one thing that's kind of interesting to me about all this, which is, you know, last year when he first started doing all this stuff, he was at SEC Media Days, and he was a part of their coverage. Look, I have no idea what Nick Saban's doing or what's going on in Nick Saban's personal life or if he's out there on the golf course just teeing it up every day right now. But it is interesting that he's, like, not there. He's not been a part of any of their coverage.
Yeah, that is interesting. I read that as last year it was, we're so excited. We got Nick Saban. Let's unveil him at SEC, and it's a perfect time to unveil him. And that from now on, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to that crap. I mean, I think that's what I'll do game day.
I ain't going to media days, all right?
Yeah, exactly. I'll do your game days and then going to the playoff. We'll do those, and I'll have to sit there and listen to some other comedian tell everybody how I was obviously a cheater when I was at Alabama, and then really I'll have to yell about it and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I just think he's going to be doing his game day stuff, and he's going to be on the golf course.
I've found it interesting that I've not seen him on TV one time this week.
It's one of those things. It is one of those things that in tandem with all this stuff is a little bit like, but I think that's what it is.
Is it because he's, you know, he's putting together a a pitch and a game plan to, like, go get hired by Tulsa.
Yeah.
Guys, I'd really love to be at SEC Media Days, but I'm watching some film on the Golden Hurricanes out there. I'm going to go take that job.
There was a good fake tweet yesterday about him taking the UAB job, about, like, all the, you know, the NIL gains they've made and stuff like that. So I'm sure, you know, there's a chance if there's, like, a fake, you know, Pete Thamel out there, it's a good account that we could get some people this week.
By the way, speaking of SEC Media Days, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey will be on with Chasing Big Joe today at 12:45. So 12:45, Greg Sankey will be on there. Obviously, a lot of things going on in the world of college football. So make sure you tune in for that later day at 12:45.
Well, Big Joe, if you're not a coward, you will tell him to leave the damn NCAA tournament alone. Not a question. A demand.
Yeah,
leave Greg, the NCAA tournament alone.
I don't really have a question for you. I have an action statement that I'd like you to put into place here.
Like, and it's actually a threat. Leave it alone or else.
That's illegal.
And I'm calling the feds in to shut this down. Again, I love these drops. I just don't remember what they're from.
We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And I say this with all due respect. You guys know I love you, even Joe.
All right, that's enough gout talk for the day.
They sometimes just kind of read the depth chart.
They now get a pass. They get a pass. But I don't know any of the players on their team, and I never will. But they get a pass.
Well, they got Johnny at linebacker.
Sam Eguier.
And Joey at the other linebacker. And then if they get a good season from Scotty at safety.
Jimmy Joe at corner.
And Stevie at safety. And Joey at corner.
Bobby Sue at corner.
Peyton Manning's going to be playing quarterback this year for the Vols.
And Scooter at corner.
Arch. Arch.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Joseph, with a beautiful illustration by Stilly in the background, the floor is yours.
Wait, what?
This illustration is probably the wrong word there. Beautiful audio set up by Stilly there.
I was like, wait.
There is not literally an illustration in the background of you.
I looked, and it's like Big Joe looking at me like, ah! Big Joe and the cast of Three's Company.
Hold on a second. Before you get started. The All-Star game tied last night.
Yeah. And they had a home run derby to win it. I was asleep by then.
It was a swing off.
Swing off. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little goofy.
All right.
But good for Kyle Schwarber.
Continue your rant.
Yeah.
That about sent me into one.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. But I liked a lot of it earlier before I went to bed. You know, that opening, I almost feel like I should rant about Silly again. But like, well, let me just quickly say. I don't think it's a bad thing if you do a sports talk radio show, if you're talking about a team, if you know players on the team.
Yeah, I don't think that
constitutes quote unquote reading the depth chart. Yeah. We were talking about players on the team
that will play.
We actually know are on the team. So
all of which are starters, by the way.
Yeah,
or at least in competition to be starters.
Yeah, but. Hey, to each their own, sports talk, not knowing about sports, whatever, you know, however it works for you. Today, I actually wanted to rant about another loudmouth, but the thing is, it's not, I've already complained about it before, and I just don't watch him. Like, I watch him on game day, and I think he's a good carnival barker on game day, you know, he's great with the ILL OHIO, and he gets up on the thing and he gets people. Sometimes he makes a joke, it gets Saban a little riled up. You know, Pat McAfee, I think, has been a good addition to game day. I don't hate the guy. The only other thing I really see of him is like some of the dumb crap Aaron Rodgers has said on his show over the years, and that gets replayed and goes viral, and we talk about it. But the Pat McAfee thing right now is what I don't understand is ESPN. Seems to think he needs to be involved in everything. Like, he just put him on anything. And clearly, the numbers are saying that's what they should do, right?
Correct.
But then every time he does something, I swear, and I guess this goes into, it's like a Stephen A. Smith kind of thing. It's the hate-watching thing, Skip Bayless, right? It's like, You don't have to be liked to be followed to get numbers, to get audience, to get paid, to be all over the place. But, like, McAfee does the home run derby the other night, which I didn't watch live. But I just saw an insane amount of complaining about it. And, frankly, I saw him out there, and I'm like, if I'm at the home run derby, am I enjoying this? I don't know. Here's a segment of McAfee.
Hailing from Colleen, North Carolina, a man who's doing something that no catcher has ever done in the history of the sport, with the fattest ass in all of professional sports.
And leading the big leagues with 38 homers so far.
Ladies and gentlemen, Big Dumper Cal Raleigh.
So that was him, and who was with him? Do we know?
Someone that's one of his boys there. Yeah, on another show.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't recognize.
Okay, so you hear that? Like, do you want that to be in the home run derby? I mean, you're not watching the home run derby anyway.
No, I mean, I don't really understand why he's doing the home run derby. Like, I understand, you know, he does those football broadcasts, you know, alternate broadcasts of college football games, and he's at the draft doing something there too. Like, I understand that because he's connected with football, right? Like, he's got.
Look, and he does wrestling. So he does wrestling. That sounded very much like someone at a wrestling, at a pro wrestling event. So Vingan would love that.
Here's kind of my take on McAfee. I for the most part, like him. Like, I think in small enough doses, he's pretty good. And his show, for the most part, like, if you actually sit down and watch it, is pretty entertaining. Like, even beyond the Aaron Rodgers stuff. This is to me, this is an ESPN problem more than it is a McAfee problem. ESPN looks at one thing, and they did this for a while with certainly Stephen A. Smith, and now they're doing it with McAfee. They get an audience for a guy, and then they just force feed him everywhere all the time. And it's like, sometimes you got to know when to pick your spots. Like, I saw a tweet from Trey Wingo, who obviously used to work at ESPN.
Yep.
And, you know, he was quote tweeting somebody, and there was somebody that said basically, like, kids don't realize it today, but you used to be able to turn on ESPN and you would see somebody else other than Stephen A. Smith or Pat McAfee all the time. And basically Trey Wingo said, you know, he compared it to like it used to be a glorious buffet where you could kind of choose and pick what you wanted. And now it's like, hey, chicken or fish? Do you want chicken or fish? And it's either Stephen A. Smith or Pat McAfee that are on at all times. You know, obviously it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but ESPN like tries to put him everywhere. There's like, to me, there's no reason Pat McAfee should be doing home run derby. Like, he has like no connection to baseball at all.
Yeah, and I just don't.
Is it just ESPN having to justify his salary?
I guess.
Like, hey,
I
mean, make him do something. Like,
you will work every day of this year. I guess
all this money. Like, hey, let's put him to use.
And again, like, I don't know. I largely like him. Like, their show can be pretty funny sometimes. Now, sometimes they get stupid with it. And, you know, you talk long enough, you're going to say some stupid stuff every now and then. But for the most part, like, I think they're pretty funny. But I don't want to see Pat McAfee on every sports event that I turn on now.
And my thing is, like, he's so polarizing. Again, I don't hate the guy. Again, I think that it's been a good ad to game day. Don't watch his show. Probably won't. Not probably. I won't watch his show unless it's like, okay, here's someone coming on that I'm really – I mean, he gets good guests, but I also feel like his interviews, when I've watched him, is a little bit too much ass-kissing.
There's a little bit of that.
You know, it's like – I mean, that's just – again, small sample size. I mean, Eli from Smyrna says, might be a boomer take from Joe. Pat is one of the best sports personalities of all time.
Hey,
again, some people feel that strongly about him. I mean, look, clearly people do. So it's one of those things I just have to – but it's also like – fine, then that's what it is. Then do I have to hear people scream about it every time he does something too?
Again, you know? to me, it goes back. It's an ESPN thing.
That's like a social media.
There's no reason for him to be on the home run derby. Like, sometimes you can have too much of a good. Like, even if you're somebody who loves McAfee, like, do you really care about seeing him on the home run derby? Like, is that going to make you more likely to watch the home run derby because Pat McAfee's on there? Like, to me, it wouldn't. Now, maybe some people it does. I have no idea. But
I mean, some people, if Eli from Smyrna thinks he's one of the great sports personalities of all time, I guess maybe he is. Maybe he's like, oh, well, I wasn't going to watch home run derby, but McAfee's going to be yelling the whole time. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, again, look, I'm with you. I think he's been good on game day. Like, I actually thought the dynamic between him and Saban last year was really good on game day. So I've enjoyed him on game day. I could probably live without, like, the alternate college football broadcast when they're out there on the sideline just talking through the game. Like, I'd rather just watch the traditional broadcast. That's just me. Like, I mean, even somebody, like, I really like the Manning cast and the you know, McAfee's alternate cast and the Manning cast are different in the way that they do things. Yeah. I really like the Manning cast.
Me too.
But still, like, if I had to choose, I'm somebody that really likes just watching the traditional broadcast of a game.
If it's a game I'm really into, I'm watching the broadcast. I'm watching a traditional game. If it's whatever game, and especially then if they have, like, Charles Barkley or something
on,
definitely flipping over to them. And I like it, but I agree that I've maybe listened to – I flipped over one time, I think, accidentally and heard, like, 9 seconds of his thing, and it's like, oh, yeah. Okay, we're good. We're good.
So, again, like, I think some of this is an ESPN thing, and they do this a lot with Stephen A. Smith, too, of, like, it's just too much. It's too much of – they're trying to – obviously, their numbers tell them that Stephen A. Smith drives things, and so does Pat McAfee. So they're trying to put them absolutely everywhere. And I think it can be heavily oversaturated at that point.
And they've made new channels. I mean, I miss ESPN Classic. Why can't we just have a McAfee and Stephen A. yell at each other channel and just make it its own thing? And then we can test it out and see if it beats ESPN's regular ratings.
Maybe so. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will get back into the Vols coming up next. Some comments from Josh Heupel yesterday at SEC Media Days. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.